I want you to open your Bibles this evening. We thank God for the Lord working in hearts and for the Lord restoring a precious soul last Lord's Day evening. And also, we're over in Highley, and we thank God in the conference there. There was a man restored and also one saved. And we had the joy of seeing that work done through the ministry that God gave us there. And we just rejoice in that, and I thank God for the privilege. I'd ask you to pray for those two souls, that God will bless them, and that God will encourage them, that God will strengthen them, and that they might be faithful unto the Savior. The general epistle of Jude is where we're reading this evening, the last little book before you come to Revelation. And so we have the general epistle of Jude, and we just read the first six verses of this passage of God's Word. I want you to follow the reading of God's truth here as we open the Scriptures together. And that is Jude, and there's only one chapter. But they're the opening verses we are, because of time, going to read together. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible truth. Now, when we turn to this little book, it said here, the general epistle of Jude. And you'll notice the insignia that is given here, or the signature that is given to this little book. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, the author is Jude under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us who Jude is. He is the brother of James. If you turn just for a moment to the book of Galatians and the chapter 1, we find who James is. And so, therefore, you'll get to understand who this person Jude really is. So, Galatians chapter 1, if you look in verse number 19, this is what it says. It says, but other of the apostles saw I none, save the Lord James, the Lord's brother. And so therefore, according to the flesh, he was, as far as the natural concern, he was the brother of the Lord Jesus. Now, we find that when Jude, he is known as the brother of James. It's interesting, he didn't say the brother of the Lord. He just said this. He said he was the brother of James, but he said something else. He said Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. I think that is rather interesting because he did not use the title that many would have used if they were in the same relationship. They would have sought to say that they had authority to address others because of their relationship according to the flesh with Jesus Christ. But Jude does not say that. Jude does not use that is the authority. It is the fact that he was commissioned and authorized to do so by the Lord, and he was happy to sign himself as this Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, or the bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, it is also important as we move on in here to notice this, that his brethren, or the Lord's brethren, according to the flesh, did not believe him whilst he was ministering, in other words, while he was there in that home. Just turn back to the book of John's Gospel to get this all in context. John's Gospel, chapter 7. And it says this in John's Gospel, chapter 7. Go to verse number 3. It says, "His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest." Now notice it says, "His brethren said that thy disciples," they weren't disciples, "that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world," verse 5 says, "for neither did his brethren believe in him." And so therefore there was a time, you know, you could live under the same roof, friend, with somebody else and not be saved. Some people have this idea that because they are in a family, that somehow it's a family salvation, and therefore they are sure of heaven. Their mother saved, their father saved, and so therefore, because of their relationship in the family, the natural family, that makes them ready for heaven. I want to tell you, my friend, you could be in the best family in the world as far as the human family is concerned, and you could die in your sin and go to hell. You could be in the loveliest family in the world. Indeed, you could have lovely Christian parents. But if you as a child are not saved, then, my friend, you will never, ever be in heaven. There will be an eternal separation. And you will go into the blackness and the darkness of hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." What an awful thing. But praise God, they did come to believe. Thank God they did come to faith in Christ. And it was through the cross and through his resurrection that they came to faith in Jesus Christ. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the verse number 7, "After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles." And therefore we find here that James was converted. And we have also the belief that it was then that Jude was converted, that he was brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And after the resurrection, they came to faith in Christ and owned the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior and as their Lord. In actual fact, if you go to Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, and it talks about the upper room and the prayer meeting that was held in the upper room before the day of Pentecost came, it says in verse 13, "And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John." And that is not the James, that is the brother of the Savior. It's James and John, and they were two brothers. And there was Andrew, and there was Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman, Aunt Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." And so therefore we find here that they are in the upper room and they're in earnest prayer. And thank God in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 5, it reminds us that the brethren, that was the Lord's brothers, were known to and in the early church. And so therefore, I want you to just get this as we move on here. Jude is rejoicing and glorying in the fact that he is the servant of the Lord Jesus. My friend, he was happy to be the servant of Christ. And I tell you, when you realize what you have in Jesus Christ and who you are in Jesus Christ, you will be happy to bear that name. You'll be glad to be known as the servant, just the bond slave or servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today there's that connotation that as far as a servant, well, that's a very lowly thing. Let me tell you, my friend, if you're the servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, rejoice in that fact. Because I can tell you, before a man is ever saved, he has got to humble himself, take his place at the feet of Jesus, and confess that he is a sinner, lost, condemned, unclean. So whenever Jude was writing here, it says this, Jude, he had a purpose in his writing. Look at verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Now that was the purpose that he was writing as he sat down to pen under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He believed that he was going to write about the common salvation. You say, well, what's the common salvation? In other words, he was going to write about salvation which is commonly shared by all those who believe in Jesus Christ. That is the common salvation. Every one of us tonight that is in the family of God, friend, let me tell you, there's no hierarchy as far as the family of God is concerned. We're all sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're all the same. And you know, the Lord has set in the church the different places and positions, and that is for the good order and for the good working of the church and the edifying of the saints of God. But as far as we are concerned, every last one of us are just the same. We're just simply sinners saved by the grace of God. And so therefore Jude was going to write upon this great subject of salvation. About salvation. Friend, that is the greatest subject that you could ever ponder, you could ever think about, you could ever speak about. It's about salvation. Now, I know we live in a day when many people don't like to talk about being saved. They don't like this word, being saved. They'll talk about other things. They've made a commitment. They're good living. They're all these other things. My friend, that's not what the Bible calls it. The Bible calls it saved. I've always been amazed why preachers, you can go to listen to preachers, and I often do this at funerals and things, and you know, they hardly ever mention the word being saved. And I ask the question, why is that? Because let me tell you, this Bible's full of being saved and salvation. The Word of God says, look unto me and be ye what? Saved. Didn't say good living. It says saved. My friend, to be saved. Thank God he saves from sin. And that's what salvation's all about. It says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that's the problem that has to be dealt with. That's the problem that every one of us are saved tonight, that God has dealt with. Thank God he has saved us from our sins. And therefore we're acknowledging that at best we are sinners and we're only saved by the grace of God. Now whenever we think about this, as he said, that was his purpose. He was going to write to him. Of course, he said then in verse number 3, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so therefore there was a change, as it were, of direction in his writing here. He was going to rejoice and joy and write about this common salvation, this salvation that every child of God experiences and rejoices in. But then he has to talk to them about those who have crept in unawares, and how that the devil has sought to destroy the work of God, and how that the devil has brought a darkness over the land, and they're exhorted to earnestly contend for the faith. But before we, my friend, we take a step further, I want us to think about salvation. And I want us to think of it there in verses 1 and 2. Because this was what he was talking about. This was the emphasis of what he was speaking about, and he wanted to write under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Now he said this, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are, mark these words now, sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now I tell you, if you get this introduction in your heart, friend, you've got real truth here. And I want you to notice that in our salvation, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is involved in our salvation. You know, people say, well, it's only the Lord Jesus. No, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is involved in the salvation of a precious soul. And thank God, I want us to notice tonight just how this happens. Notice it says here, to them which are sanctified by God the Father. Here's the Father's work. Sanctified, and the word there is set apart. The sanctified there does not mean internal sanctification, which is the work of the Holy Ghost. Day by day, we are sanctified. We are to die more and more unto sin, and we're to live more and more unto righteousness. But we're talking about, it says here, sanctified by God the Father. And so therefore, what we see here is that I today and tonight, who am saved by the grace of God, I am saved because I am sanctified by God the Father. I have been set apart by God the Father for salvation. And friend, that takes us into the great theological discourse and thought of our divine election of God the Father, that we are chosen in Christ. We are chosen in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you." And the great wonder of my salvation is this, friend, that I am saved, that God ever saved me, ever set me apart for himself to save my precious, never dying and ever dying soul. You know, the amazing, amazing grace of God that ever, that's what Paul talked about, John Newton talked about, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Paul, whenever he was talking about his salvation, just keep your hand there, we'll come back to Jude always, but Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 15, it says this, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him amongst the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. It pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." Now, whenever we think about our salvation, friend, we realize that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Turn to the Epistle of Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus. And this is what he says in Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 2. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him," or in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Listen, you and I who are saved tonight have nothing to boast in but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation from beginning to end is of the Lord. Let me tell you, my friend, there's not a man will ever reach heaven and say, "God, I am here because I made it. I was the one that chose you, Lord, and I'm the one that deserves the praise that I've got to heaven." Let me tell you, my friend, there's not one that'll ever walk the streets of gold, because it says this, "God has predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And not only to the good pleasure of his will, but to the praise of the glory of his grace. All the glory and all the praise for our salvation is due to the Lord. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been looking in the book of Jeremiah. And friend, when you look at that first chapter, just go to Jeremiah just for a moment, and don't worry, I'm not going into it tonight. But this is what God said to Jeremiah. This shows you the divine election of God and how that God has purposed and planned a people for his son. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly. Notice that. Before I ever formed you in your mother's belly, and remember, God formed you. We are created, we are of the handiwork of God. And the Bible says, God's writing to Jeremiah and speaking to Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, he said, I sanctified thee. This is God speaking. That's what Judah's talking about. I set you apart, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And God says, how dare you say that? God says, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Before I ever formed you in the belly, God says, I knew you. Listen, my friend, you're in this meeting tonight, and if you're a child of God, God knows all about you. God knows all about you. Before you were ever formed in your mother's belly, God knew about you, and God has set you apart for his son. That's the amazing grace of God. The high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 17, is a wonderful chapter. And in John's Gospel, chapter 17, it speaks over and over again. Look at verse number 2, John 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. As John chapter 17, verse 2. He's talking, he's speaking to his father. Father, he said, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I've often stood amazed at go down in the chapter, and he says that he's not praying for the whole world, but for those that the Father has given to him out of the world. And verse number 23, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. There is a high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, let me tell you, that is the assurance of my reaching heaven. I'm not reaching heaven because, you see, I trusted the Lord Jesus one night, and then the Lord said to me, now it's over to you. I've done my part. Now it's over to you. You make the rest of the journey. The assurance of my place in heaven is secured because of Christ and because of the work of Jesus Christ. But it started in the fact that I was set apart. I was set apart by God the Father. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder why he could love me. Why did God ever choose me? You know, there are people who have theological discourses and arguments about, well, why did God choose somebody and didn't choose somebody else? Let me tell you, my friend, that's not the miracle of God's grace. Why did God choose anybody? That's the miracle of God's grace. God didn't need anything, you know. He didn't need us. But thank God he set his love upon us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were as rotten, as hellish as anyone could be, God in his divine love set his love upon us and set a people apart for his son. And Jesus Christ came to the cross, and thank God he purchased for them eternal salvation. So there we see, friend, in our salvation, We look into the eternity past before the hills in order stood or even earth received its frame. We think about the eternal choice of God in choosing for his son a people. And thank God, those who are saved tonight can say, I'm his, he's mine. Now, friend, let's take it a step further. Not only does it say here in our salvation, sanctified by God the Father. Go back to verse 1, Jude. It says preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? In actual fact, the rendering of those words could also read this, preserved for Jesus Christ. Preserved for Jesus Christ. And friend, let me tell you, that is exactly what has happened. You see, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood upon the cross of Calvary for the redemption of my soul. And God has preserved me to this very day. And unto the night that God gloriously saved me, the 4th of June, 1957, God preserved me for Jesus Christ. He carefully watched over me, and he carefully guarded me. And thank God, then one night he saved me. That is the amazing grace of God for a sinner, condemned and unclean. I have been secured for the Lord Jesus Christ in answer to the Savior's high priestly prayer. Thank God I know tonight that he's praying for me. Thank God he is interceding before the Father. The Bible says the one who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And maybe you think tonight there's nobody thinking about you. Maybe you're in a low part in your journey, friend. Maybe things of life has got you down. Maybe trials, maybe troubles, maybe sorrows, maybe circumstances. And they've got you down and you think there's nobody understands what you're going through. Let me tell you, my friend, there is. There is a God in heaven who knows exactly what you're going through. And there's a Lord Jesus who really loves you and really cares. And this night he intercedes for his people. He intercedes. He ever liveth, the Bible says, to make intercession for us. You're in the heart of God. Thank God your name's engraved in the palms of his hands. Thank God your names are inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. Thank God your name's written on his heart. Thank God you're upon his lips as he prays before his Father, making intercession for you. Because it says we are not only set apart from the Father, we are preserved for Jesus Christ. Now let me just go back in just a wee moment. You see, friend, way back in eternity, God chose me for Christ. But you know, whenever I was born into this world, there was a period of time that I wasn't saved. Any of that time, I could have been cut off. Many others in that young age were cut off and taken away. But I wasn't cut off because I was preserved for Jesus Christ. And God watched over my every day. God watched over my every moment, friend. And I was preserved. I was carefully guarded and watched over. And I was secured. In answer to the Savior's prayer, I was preserved for Jesus Christ. And thank God, on that night, the 4th of June, 57, I received the Lord Jesus Christ. I answered that call of grace. And thank God, I was gloriously saved. Now, I'd heard the gospel right from my earliest days. I had a faithful Sunday school teacher who taught me in my earliest days God's way of salvation. But I wasn't saved. There are people in this meeting tonight. And let me tell you, you can look back over your life. And you lived in your sin, sadly and tragically, you lived in your sin for years. And friend, let me tell you, you could have been cut off as far as the world was concerned. You could have been cut off at any moment, but God preserved you. God preserved you. God watched over you until the night he saved you. And if you do not think that's a wonderful thing, if you don't think that that's something to rejoice in, I tell you, there's something wrong in your heart. Because you are preserved for Jesus Christ. And I earnestly pray that you might rejoice in the God of your salvation. Thank God now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Verse 24, Jude, it says, it says he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne, the throne of his glory, with exceeding joy. Thank God he'll present you faultless before his throne. He preserves you. He watches over you. You see, he doesn't do a half work of salvation. And that's why I do not believe, my friend, in those that preach and teach that one day you can be saved and the next day you can be lost. Because I believe, my friend, that that's an insult to the work of Calvary. I am saved only completely and totally because of the work of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ cried on the cross, he said, "Father, the work that you give me to do," he says, "I finished it. I finished it." And all the work that was necessary for the salvation of my soul was done not by me or ever by me, but was done by Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. That's my story. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And so we see, indeed, the Father in the plan of my salvation, and I see the Son in the plan of my salvation. But it doesn't end there. Because notice it says also there, not only sanctified by God the Father, not only preserved in Jesus Christ, but then it says, and called. And called. And that was the night that God saved you. The effectual call of grace. You were called effectually and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was walking out through the city of Jericho, and as he walked into the city, there was a man in need, and thank God the Savior met his need. He passed through the city of Jericho, that place of the curse, and then coming outside of that city, there was a man up a tree. And something happened in that man's heart, let me tell you. That day was different from any other day, because that day he desired to see Jesus. Tell me, how did that happen? That was the work of God. The Bible tells us, there is none that seeketh after God, no, not one. And a man left to himself will never seek God, friend. He'll be happy in a sin. He's happy to live in a sin. Now, he's not happy to go to hell, but he's happy to live in a sin. And for his sin. But he blots out the fact that there's the wages of sin. And if he dies in his sin, he goes to hell. And that for all eternity. But he's happy in his sin. But thank God the day that something stirred in that man's soul, little Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. Something happened. Now, it didn't say he wanted to be saved. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. Was he curious? I don't know how it happened, but I'll tell you this. That wee man decided he was going to do something. He decided he couldn't see him because of the crowd that was round the Savior, and he was only a little man. And therefore he decided he'd take extraordinary measures, and he climbed up a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ, there was a crowd around the Savior, my friend, following the Savior. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was followed by that crowd, and the Lord Jesus came to a spot underneath that tree, and the Lord Jesus stopped. And he looked up, not out, he looked up. And he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus sitting up that tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down." And that day Zacchaeus got the effectual call of grace. And thank God, let me tell you, he heard the call, and praise the Lord, the Bible says he came down. Jesus says, "Come down. I'm going home with you. I'm going to have tea with you. I'm going to have fellowship with you." And that day Zacchaeus came down and, thank God, received the Lord Jesus Christ. He was called. He was called. To be the people of God, friend, that call is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I can't change a soul in this service tonight. I can't change your thinking about the Lord Jesus because, listen, humanly speaking, as far as you're concerned, there is no beauty in him that you should desire him until the Holy Spirit of God works. And you see the sin, your sin differently, friend. You see your lost estate differently. And then God really moves and God convicts you. And God works upon your heart. And God disturbs that old sleep of death that has been upon you for years in your sin. And God stirs your soul. And thank God for that wonderful grace of God that called you to repentance. And not a bit of wonder that's what you'd want to write about, isn't it? He wanted to write to them about the salvation that they had in Christ, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was indeed, had purposed and planned. Now listen, notice very quickly as we'll soon be finished. We're going to just to verse 2. I want you to notice, because we are set apart, that word sanctified is also the word beloved. 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 Beloved by God the Father. And friend, that's the very heart of our salvation. That's why John 3, the gospel in a nutshell, says, for God so loved. They were beloved. And then, not only were they set apart or beloved, they were preserved, and then they were called. And because of all of the grace of God, friend, we are recipients of God's choicest blessings. Notice what they are, verse number two. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Here's the blessing, mercy be unto you. Is it not true that every one of us who are saved tonight can look back in our lives and say, God, you've been merciful to me. Why did you not cut me off? When my back was against you, my face was toward the world, and I enjoyed my sin. And oh God, listen, Lord, there were people in my class at school. Friend, let me tell you, maybe you're unsaved tonight. And there's people in your class at school, and they've been taken. But you're spared. That's the mercy of God. God's been merciful to you. Because if God had cut you off, and God was to cut you off last night as you laid your head upon that pillow, friend, you'd be in hell now. Enduring the wrath of God forever in the flames and the fires of an endless eternity, where the worm dieth not and the fire's never quenched. But God's been merciful to you. Listen, God's been merciful another day that you're found in God's house, listening to the glorious plan of God's salvation. Yes, the mercy of God. You see, God is merciful. God does not give us what we do deserve. That's the mercy of God, friend. I deserve hell. I deserve punishment. I deserve separation from God forever. I deserve God's wrath. But thank God I'll never be in hell. Thank God I'll never be under the wrath of God. Thank God I'll never be separated from God's love or God's grace. Why? Because God's mercy. He gives me, or he does not give me, what I do deserve. The grace of God is, he gives me what I don't deserve. Instead of hell, he gives me heaven. Instead of separation from God, thank God he gives me an eternal bond, that I'm his and he's mine. And that for all eternity. And therefore, we are recipients of the blessings of God because of the work of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mercy unto you. Do you remember what the old sinful publican cried out? He said, God, be merciful. He didn't say, God, give me merits. He says, God, give me your mercy. Dear friend, let me tell you tonight, I pray that God will open your eyes and that realize you have nothing to boast of about merits. You need the mercy of God. And not only does it say mercy unto you, but notice the next thing that follows it, and peace. Peace. You know what that is? That's the result of mercy extended. the peace of God. You see, friend, what needs to happen in your heart? You need to be at peace with God through the blood of the Savior's cross. And dear unsaved person, that you are at war against God. You're at war against the God of heaven. And you're an enemy of God. And you're still in your sin, and you're living in your sin and for your sin, at enmity with God. And the only way you can find peace with God is through the blood of the Savior's cross. What does that mean? Through, friend, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and having the cleansing of the blood from your sin. Because it's your sin that separates between you and God. And it's only the blood that can cleanse you from it. And whenever the blood cleanses you from your sin, thank God there's nothing to separate you from God for it anymore. Your sin is dealt with under the blood. You ask me where my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the Christ of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. And then, listen, when I have peace with God through the blood of the cross, then there's something follows. The peace of God, which shall keep or guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Now I ask you tonight, have you peace with God? Have you peace with God? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Mercy unto you, peace, and then it says, and love. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me. It is so. Think about the love of God. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. God expressed his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A young man wrote to me or texted me this week. He asked me this question. He said, is Saturday the end of the world? That was during the week when I was in Hialeah. I got this message. Perhaps that young man's listening in tonight, and if you are, friend, I'm addressing you. You know my reply. The Bible tells us the great event that is to happen, friend, is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of that day and that hour knoweth no man except my Father only. The secret's there with him. But friend, I asked that young man a question. The answer is no. Saturday, that was yesterday. And it wasn't the end of the world, and my answer was no. But if it were, where would you be? If yesterday had been the end of the world, if yesterday had been your last day, never mind the end of the world, friend, if it had been the end of the world for you, in other words, God said, it's time to go. I'm only a teenager, time to go. I'm only a child, time to go. What age have you to be to die, friend? Let me tell you, go out into the graveyard. You'll get the answer. Any age. But it's where you go after eternity. Thank God for an eternal salvation. It's his mercy and peace and love, and here's the last word, be multiplied. Thank God Jude desires the blessings to be multiplied. Blessings beyond measure. And friend, that's what God has for his people. We sang the wee chorus tonight. We are blessed. We're blessed. Every day of our lives, we're blessed. From we wake up in the morning to we lay our heads to rest, we are blessed, so richly blessed. Mercy, peace, love. In abundance. That's what God has provided in his salvation. And here's the last question. Are you saved? Are you saved, friend? Can you say that from the depths of your soul? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His child and forever. Oh, you'll not fall out of grace. You'll never fall out of his love. His child and forever. I am. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thou knowest every heart and every man, every woman, every boy and every girl that's gathered here tonight. Thou knowest their standing before thee. Thou knowest their relationship with thee. Maybe there's some and they have left their first love. Oh God, it's not that you've stopped loving them, but they've left their first love. Please bring them back. They're only wasting their lives in the far country. Maybe there's someone tonight and they're not saved. Please, God, save them. For salvation belongeth unto thee. Open their eyes. Let them see the beauty of Christ, the wonder of thy salvation. And may they see this night that in Christ there is eternal life, but outside of Christ there is no life eternal. And bless thy people. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and the meeting's over in a moment, friend. What about you? What's your reaction? What's your response to the Word of God tonight? Will you say, God, I realize tonight I'm a sinner. Or I realize tonight I have fallen. Please, God, save my soul or restore me. Bring me back to the place of blessing. Or, Lord, bring me into the place of blessing. The blessing of thy salvation. As every head is bowed and eyes are closed. And God's people are praying. If there's one tonight and you say, preacher, God has touched my heart and I realize that my heart's not right with him tonight. But I'd love to know this salvation and the peace and the mercy and the love of God that you've spoken about. Lead me to Jesus. If there's one tonight in the service, that's the desire of your heart, friend. Would you lift that hand right now above your head that I'll see it? Don't miss him. Don't throw his love back in his face. May God call you to himself. Is there one before we close? O Lamb of God, I come. Heavenly Father, bless your word tonight. Please, Lord, speak on to the hearts. This is thy work. Bless the Spirit of God. Convince the sinner of their need. Bring them to saving faith and thy Son. May salvation visit, restoration visit hearts, lives, tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm here to help you. Don't go away without the Lord, friend. We'll have the Word of God in our hand. We'll gladly open the book and show you from God's Word. all that God has for you in and through His Son and the finished work of the cross. May God bless you. I'll be in the minister's room. Come and speak to me there. But gladly turn to the Word of God. Amen.